Not again, but
Okay, good evening, my friends. We find ourselves in Chaf Beis Manaf on 22A. And again, I'm gonna admit this is like a little bit of a dry patch. I mean, obviously there's a lot of really interesting concepts here in the Gemara that I can generally tell when it's a bit of a drier patch, because one of the svarim I like using, Chashuke Chemed or Zilberstein, is usually very reliable at having a fun question answer Shiloh Tshuva on the Amud, and he didn't have anything on this over here. So that's usually an indicator that even he couldn't find a fun question to extract from this. But there's still very fundamental concepts we're going to learn. Of course, we always come back to our good friend Lovud, and there'll be some familiar things, some new things, because if there wasn't anything new, there wouldn't be another Daf of Gemara here to do. And maybe supplement a little bit from Rav Eliyashiv when we get a chance. I realize that the blur doesn't show anything, but you trust me, I'm holding it safer from Rav Eliyashiv Sa'aros on the Gemara. So let's just briefly review. According to the Shita of Shmuel, you can have a sukkah with the following configuration. With the schach is kana ole and kana yore. Schach here, schach there, schach here, schach there, and it's up and down, up and down, up and down. And the idea is that if they are, well, we'll explain in just a moment what the parameters are. But that even though they are at different heights on the y-axis, they will be combined together to form one contiguous, from a halakhic perspective, one contiguous stack. Now let's understand the parameters of this. We pick up with Amar Abaye. It's about a quarter way down, Chaf Beis Manaf, about a quarter way down, 22A. Amar Abaye. We have the place. Is this still page one or page two in the art scroll? Still page one in the art scroll, presumably toward the end of it. Okay, very good. Let's go, my friends. Amar Abaye, Loshanu Ela She'im Bein Zat Lazat Shlosha Tfachim. This whole rule is, it would only be an issue when there is, oh, hello over there. Yeah, you can go take a bath, please. All right. Thank you. Bye, Tali. Love you. Amar Abaye, Loshanu Ela She'im Bein Zat Lazat Shlosha Tfachim. So this is only good when there is less than three tefachim between the beams of the schach. Aval yesh bein zeh lezeh gimel tefachim, but if there's three tefachim or more between these schach, then it is psula. So okay, this is a very quick ha'ara from Rav Eliyashiv, which is very interesting. Usually, when we think of lavud, very robotically, either two things up down or right left combined. Here what's interesting is that you see that lavud could actually operate diagonally, because you have a schach here and a schach there, and they have to be within three tefachim of each other, so it's three tefachim diagonally that they are connecting. No reason, I believe, to assume that that couldn't work, but that's just an interesting thing that comes out from this Gemara, Rav Eliyashiv points out. Okay. That's Abaye's opinion. Rava's opinion, which is really what he's going to tell us, is going to concern us for the rest of our discussion this evening. Amar Rava, afilu yesh bein zeh lezeh shlosha tefachim, nami, lo amar el she'im begago tefach, aval yesh begago tefach, kishera, darin chavit rami. So Rava says is that in addition to having lava, there's something else that, oh, sorry. I think yesh bein zeh lezeh shlosha tefachim. Rava says, even if there's no lava, even if there's three tevachim or more separating them, it would be okay. But what is this other principle that we are applying? Is this new principle called chavut rami, which means kind of like to, hit down and throw, or whatever terminology they use in the art scroll. Chavut rami, right? We imagine like the beam is being pushed down and that they are on the same plane. So that only works when the upper piece of schach is at least a tefach wide. If it's not a tefach, in the lashon of Rashi says, "Dash me'ina nami basuk." Sorry, the lashem ohel aleha la'ach shuvi. So the idea is that the beam of schach. I know I say beam. I don't mean a metal beam. I mean the wood, of course, or some kosher material. That beam of schach needs to be at least a tefach, because otherwise it's not significant enough and to be considered an ohel. Remember, we've been talking about ohel a lot over here, about the sukkah has similar laws to an ohel, to a tent, and a chustumah, and v'tahara. So there needs to be at least a tefach, and once you have a tefach, it's significant enough that we can view it as being contiguous with the bottom stop. That is the principle of chavut rami. And basically, the rest of the Gemara we're going to be seeing this evening is just going to be determining, based on precedent, how do we know that chavut rami is a legitimate concept, right? We've been learning Maseches Sukkah until now. We've been talking about Lavan and Dofen Akuma and all these different fun different concepts. We haven't mentioned chavut rami yet. It's a little bit suspicious. Where do we get this idea of chavut rami from? So that's going to be the continuation of the Gemara until the end this evening. So, any questions before we go forward? Anything I could clarify before we proceed? Okay. I didn't think there was anything particularly overly complicated, but don't worry, we'll make things. Amar Rava, Samina Amina law, ki isbe tevach amrina chavut rami, v'chi leisbe lo amrina chavut rami. Where do I get this idea that, chavut rami works and that it's contingent on the upper level being this discussion? I think it's machlokas rishon, the lower level also needs to be a tefach, but certainly the upper level needs to be a tefach. So where do we get this idea from? It's not koros habat. So now, as we've been doing in previous Gemaras, we are going to make a comparison to the laws of, you guessed it, ohel and issue of tumas mace. Okay, right. So we've seen this before. The Tanakh. Okay, so basically, there's going to be two scenarios. A little bit of background. The way they would make houses, it might be like this today also to a certain degree, is that you make the skeleton of the house. You'll take it back with mommy. Thank you, sweetie. That the you have the beams, the wooden beams, let's say, whatever it might be. Here it's wooden beams. They're kosher for, well, yeah, they're wooden in this case, I guess. And then they put the tar or the mazeva over it. So let's say one scenario is that you have level one of beams, beam here, space, beam, space, beam, space, beam, space, right? And then you have another tier two, which also beam, space, beam, space, and the beams are aligned with each other. So this beam on top is blocking this beam on the bottom. That'll be scenario number one. Scenario number two is going to be beam on the bottom and a beam on the top. And beam on the top is basically going to be occupying, it's going to be corresponding to the space between the beams on the bottom. You can imagine that this difference will have ramifications for when I have something that is tame, if I have a cadaver that's on one level versus the other level. Do these beams combine to form an ohel together? That is the question that we have. Okay, so did not. Yes, okay, so mommy will help you with that. Did not. Koros habayis va'aliyah she'ein aleihem ma'azeva. This is what we described. You have beams in the house, and the aliyah, which is the second, nothing to do with moving to Israel. It's the second floor. And they are one beam on top of the other beam. They correspond to each other. Tumah tach is achas mehen. If you have tumah under one of them, tachteha, so that which is under it is tameh. So basically, if you have tumah under the lower one, anything else under that lower beam over there will be tameh. Beinat tachtona leyah, but let's say the tumah is on top of one of the lower beams. So now it's between the lower beam, and on top of it has the upper beam in between. So beinehen tameh. Anything that's caught in between is tameh because it's sheltered under the upper beam. Agabe ha'elyona, and let's say the tumah is found on top of the second tier of beams, it's all the way on the roof. Well, then, connect the adarakia tameh. So then, if the tumah shoots up to Shemayim, and anyone flying over, well, the whole plane is an interesting question, but anything flying overhead becomes tame from there. Okay? Hayu halyonos, kibena tachtonos. But let's say And by the way, this is going to be a very long, drawn-out point. We're just reading through a braisa here. Ha'yuhel yonos gebina tachtonos. Let's say the el yonos, the upper beams, occupy the space where the lower beams do not occupy, the space between the lower beams, meaning you have two lower beams, right? And then I don't have a third hand, but imagine where my head is, right? I need some diagrams over here. I left my masifta at the shul. Do they have pictures in the art scroll? Like, do you? Am I doing this all for naught? They're not so good. And someone wanna shoot. Toby, it looks like you're trying to say something, but you're muted.
It's
The
got.
picture, the, yeah, the pictures here don't show much.
Oh wait, let me wait, Lonnie. Let me. I'm gonna make you the main. Let me see if I can pin your video to some people. And I don't want to put you in the waiting room. Let's see. Everyone see Lonnie's screen? Okay. You guys see Lonnie's screen as well? Just nod. Okay, so Lonnie, so.
No,
Oh, no, you
don't see
don't?
it.
Oh, so it's only pinned for
No.
me. Second. Let me see if I can figure out how to put you in the center so people. Spotlight. That's it. Ah, relearning my Zoom skills.
Got it. Yeah.
So you see over here, so Lonnie's showing us example number two, in which the upper tier is basically corresponding to the airspace that the lower tier does not occupy. Okay? Very good. Okay, thank you, Lonnie. Go to the bath, okay? I know. Did you kiss? The bath, okay? So let's say, okay, so that's case number two. That's case number two.
But a question, Rabbi?
Yeah.
Conceptually, in order for the upper beams to constitute an ohel, doesn't there have to be a specific distance between the lower and the upper for the upper to constitute an ohel?
Very good. So we're actually going to, on the next mode, when we flip the page, it's going to talk about that. Spoiler alert, they might have to be within love of each other, possibly. So let's go back into the Gemara. Let's see, where did we leave off? Ah, here we go. Let's say the upper ones correspond to the airspace in the lower tier. Tuma tachtein, so any tuma that is under them. So then tachas, oh, so tachas kulan tame. Oh, sorry. Right, tachas kulan tame. So basically, they form one big ohel. The upper beams and lower beams combine with each other. And then al gabehen, if it's on top, then connect the adrakia tame. If it's on top of any of the beams, whether the lower beams or the upper beams, at that point, there's no ohel. So if it's on the lower tier, it goes through the airspace of the upper tier until Shemayim. If it's on the upper tier, it goes also up to Shemayim. That's how it works. Utani Allah, and so this was further elaborated upon in the Tosefta. You can see it there. When there's a tefach, ubeinehen poseach tefach. So each beam needs to be a minimum measurement of a tefach, and there needs to be a space of a tefach that the upper tier is occupying. I will aim beinehem boseh tefach, but if you do not have a tefach of airspace there for it to occupy, tuma tachis achs mehen tachta tameh beinehem v'gabehen tahor. So then they would not combine together. Okay? That's what would happen. Alma, what do we see from all this? He is bei tefach amrina chaver rami. If he lays bei tefach lo amrina chaver rami shmamina. The point of all this is basically we now have a brisa. We have an earlier source that tells us that clearly, explicitly, that for chaver rami to work, the beams, at least on the upper part, need to be able to be a tefach to be significant enough that we view them as halakhically being there and can combine them with the lower tier to form a single roof. Okay, very good. Going further, Yasav Rav Kahana Ukamar Lahashmaisit. So Rav Kahana related over everything that we just learned. Amarle Rav Ashi, the Rav Kahana. Rav Ashi asked Rav Kahana, "B'chol heicha delis bei tefach lo amrina chavit rami? Is that true that it's really indispensable to have a tefach in order to do chavat rami? But Tanya, Korah hayotza me kosel zeh, be'eno gas de kosel zeh. My apologies. Is this really true that it's required and one needs to have a tepach? So this is kind of back to another throwback to something we've done many times, the laws of mavoi. So remember, for a mavoi, that sort of alleyway, you need to have a kora, a beam, which indicates that it's its own separate rishus, separating it from a public domain. So let's say one configuration is, let's say you have the beam extending from the right wall and it doesn't quite make it to the left wall. Let's say one beam comes from the right wall, one comes from the left wall, and they don't quite reach each other. If they're less than three tefachim away from each other, this is basic love it here. And just so you know, Rishim Gamliel adds another shita. He actually says that it's not three tefachim, love it is four tefachim. Okay, just it throws in the alternative opinion. Don't get too distracted by it. It's a bit of a red herring. Now imagine you have two beams. They're right next to each other. Each one is not strong enough to hold a brick. Usually that's really the shear that you need for a korah, is that it's able to hold a brick. So can you have two flimsier beams next to each other that hold the beam up together? That's the question. In the Kabbalah Sariach, the rough boat, Tabach, ain't Sar Havi Korah Acheres. The Mav Sar Havi Korah Acheres. So if it can hold a brick widthwise, so you have the beams, you put the brick on top of it, and together they can hold it up, a Tabach wide brick, then that is sufficient. Rishon Gamliel, Sit Omer, in the Kabbalah Sariach, the Arch Bashosh Bachim, ain't Sar Havi Korah Acheres, the Mav Sar Havi Korah Acheres. He makes the rules a little more difficult. It has to hold a brick that's in three Tabachim lengthwise. Okay, fine. But then it continues. This is the point that concerns us. If you had one beam that, right, the flimsy beams, one was a little higher, one was a little bit lower than each other, Rav Yossi bar Rav Yehuda Omer, Rowan Hal Yona k'ilu hi lamata, v'satachtona k'ilu hi lamala, v'vash ota yon lama me'asar, mama v'tachtona lamata me'asara. So as long as one beam, each beam, the upper beam, is less than 20 amos, and the lower beam is above 10 tefachim, remember the first Mishnah, that's what we learned, is the shear. The minimum height is 10 tefachim, and the upper limit is 20 amos. As long as they're within that green zone, they could be really far away from each other, right, Talani, to your point, but they will connect together. So what is this telling us? Wait a minute. I thought that Chavarami only works when, at very least, the upper, potentially the lower level, are a minimum of a tefach in their own right. But here, we're trying to combine the upper beam with the lower beam, and each one doesn't have a shear of a tefach on its own. So how can Rava tell me that for Chavarami to work, the upper beam needs to be a tefach on its own, when we're davka trying to use Chavarami specifically to reach the threshold of a tefach by combining the upper and lower level? How is that supposed to work? So this is a very good example of where we just amend the text and we fill it, you know, like in the art scroll, how they have like the bold and then they have the finer text to show you what the actual translation is and what the between the lines. So this is now, we're going to fill in they had art scroll back then also. We're going to fill in the art scroll over here that's missing from this brisa in order to resolve our problem. So what is it? Here we go. Amarle, T-Rex. So here's my answer. The ema hachi, uvavash lo tehehel yon lema me'esrim, elo besochesrim, tachtona smuchala bepachus mishlosha. So number one, you have to read it as, it is less than 20 amos high, and it's also within three tefachim of the lower beam. So now you have love combining together into a single unit. Inami, Okay, so, or the lower tier is just above 10 tvachim, and it's within 3 tvachim of the upper one, so they combine through lavud. Avol shlosha, but if there's 3 tvachim or more, came with the lace bay tefak, lo amin chavit rami. So basically, Lonnie, to answer your question, it seems that if what we're trying to do is we don't have that initial tefak, we need lavud to combine them together, and then we can make use of chavit rami. But it would seem, interestingly, absent that, if the upper tier is a tefach already, at least in the Gemara here, it's not clear what the limit would be on how far they could be apart. It would seem that as long as they're within 20 amos high and 10 tefachim up, we could apply chavat rami. And this case over here, where each beam was not a tefach on its own, they need to be within lavud of each other to combine. Now, I guess the interesting question, I hadn't looked at the Rishonim, is, once you have lava, then why would you need a chavit rami, right? If they're already combined through, so I'm not sure. I'd have to look into that. Maybe someone who has, I'm actually seeing, I think Tosis actually brings it up. Pasha, I have to look at Tosis, but it looks like Tosis might bring up that question. Anyone, the Halakha Art School footnotes bring up that question? I'm not going to trouble you to read it all on the spot right now. So let me just give you a little bit of a question from Rabbi Yashiv before we conclude. Rabbi Yashiv goes back to something we learned earlier, which, remember this, how we got to this whole discussion was Shmuel said that a sukkah, which its schach is kana olev, a kana yored, up, down, up, down, up, down, even if there is more sunlight than shade, it would still be kosher because the point is we look at it as a single unit. So it's really the Torah, actually, that brings up this question. The Torah basically asks, this is the Lashon of Rav Yashiv, and Cain, Hecha Mishkachas Le Psula Decham Amaruba Mitzel, HaTami Yishlor Lovavim Cain Ein Chamaruba. If you're going to play games like that, I mean, how would you ever have a sukkah, which the issue is that it's Chamasa Maruba Mitzilasa, there's more sunlight than shade, because, I don't know, yeah, there's more sunlight than shade, but if all my, you know, imagine I have a bamboo, a lone bamboo stick, then 2.9 tefachim, another lone bamboo stick, then 2.9 tefachim, another lone bamboo stick. So I would have significantly less schach than airspace. But hey, lavud should combine all of it. So there seems to be a reductio ad absurdum in Rashi's Shita in the Gemara, which leads many Rishonim to reject Rashi's reading and to say, that even with kana olava kana yored, you would still need majority shade, or at very least, the section of the sukkah where the sunlight is predominant, you wouldn't be able to eat and sleep under that section of the sukkah. It wouldn't passel the sukkah because you have lavud, but you would need to lemaisa sleep under a section of the sukkah that actually has majority shade compared to sunlight. All right, that's our conclusion for tonight. We've already made our way basically halfway down Chaf Beis and Mem Beis. So maybe that means next time I just need to supplement with more Rishonim and Achronim in order to fill up our time. Okay, wonderful. Good learning together and wishing everyone a wonderful Shabbos.
Thank you.
Take care.